Hello there, it's Jamila Jamil. Take a deep breath. Let your breath out slowly to the count of six. One, two, three, four, five, six. Do you feel better? Well, on my podcast, I Weigh, this month we'll be exploring ways to tackle mental health and feel better with guests like Simon Sinek from The Optimism Company, therapist Vianna Farren, comedian Neil Brennan, and many more. Listen to I Weigh wherever you get your podcasts.
Just like the Olive Garden, when you're here, you're family. We saw Furious 7, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while ripping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with Speed 2 hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Games and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause the bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of Largo! We are live in Los Angeles with hopefully better sound quality than our previous episodes. Apologize for that recorder malfunction, but we're back, we're better than ever, and we're with one of the most important films of our generation, Furious 7. Oh my gosh, it's been a long time coming, but it's been worth the wait. So let's get this show started. Without any further ado, please welcome Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks?
Welcome to Diane Raphael! And the final member of our Fast and Furious family, please welcome Mr. Adam Scott! Welcome! Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hey, hey.
Welcome. Fast and Furious family. What an exciting show.
It is happening.
Finally.
Oh my God. I got so much shit on Twitter about how long this took.
We've all been out of town, but before we start tonight, this was sent to us.
Oh my God.
By Alan O'Sullivan sent us all Dominic Toretto's necklaces.
Yes.
So as we do this tonight, we will wear the cross that Dominic Toretto gives Letty.
Oh my God.
Thus marrying ourselves. Because
wrap
apparently
it around
this,
your hand.
This necklace can stand in for a wedding ring.
If it's wrapped around your hands, it will work. All right, here we go, put these on.
By the way, that wedding, oh my God, he wore a tank top and white jeans to his wedding.
What a fucking class act. That's the first time I've been watching a movie and been like, boom, that's what I'm gonna get married. That's how I'm gonna do it.
By the way,
bald, my voice having basically evaporated. Yep.
Dom only has about three outfits that he interchanges between. The white jeans were new. So
and he
I was pretty
great
impressed.
Great in everyone.
Oh, he's just gotta hope he doesn't get his period.
I wanted to do something really quick, and I don't know if this
Come on,
is worth
Jason,
it or not.
What, Adam, what?
I wanted to walk us through
his,
the history.
I'm sorry, his menses.
Thank you.
Because he's a genius.
By the way...
That's Mensa.
I wanted to walk us through, because as I was watching this last night with June, you said, I don't remember any of these movies that came before.
I don't remember any of them.
Do you...
I watched this with such fresh eyes. It was like I had never even seen a movie before.
And you had seen this one before, right?
No, I hadn't seen this one before. Okay. I've seen, I think, Fast and Furious 6.
Well, no, you've seen, you've done the podcast.
We all know for sure you saw.
We've discussed with you at least 5 and 6.
Okay, so I've seen, all right. I've seen 5 and 6.
Like, not only discussed, but took apart in, like, near pornographic detail.
I don't know what to say. I only have so much room in my brain, and I forget these movies immediately after seeing
them. You have, like, memento. Really, you're like memento for these movies.
I really didn't remember anything.
Well, I wanted to, for those of you out there that might have Fast and Furious-itis, or like Letty's character, can't remember what happened, I just wanted to give you a brief rundown of the six leading up to this.
And if you are listening at home and have seen the movie, you can just fast forward for the next 12 minutes?
Yeah.
Is that how long it's going to take to
this
describe what happens?
These are very quick bullet points. Very quick bullet points. Okay, Fast and Furious 1. Brian Connor is a police officer with a shady past who goes undercover to infiltrate the most dangerous street racing gang ever, falls in love with Dom's sister, and then Brian and Dom go away. Brian lets Dom away at the end.
I forgot that was his sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
See, so, this is all very interesting.
Mia, that's Mia.
That's Jordana Brewster's character.
Yeah.
Is, just in case, Jordana Brewster is Vin Diesel's sister.
Totally makes sense.
Makes no sense.
So, like, the original cast is Dom, Brian, Mia, and Letty. Letty, of course, has the memory loss. Okay, Fast and Furious 2, Brian's dismissed from the FBI. He moves to Miami, and then the U.S. Customs Service recruits him to bring down a drug lord. That's where he meets Tyrese Gibson as Roman Pierce. That's his old street racing friend. So that's Ludacris and Tyrese. They come in at number
Great.
Two. Number three, Tokyo Drift.
Boom!
For those of you who are following the chronologically, the movie was released third, but this one comes in between 6 and 7. So maybe,
so
maybe,
fucked up.
Maybe I won't even read Tokyo Drift until we get to it. So,
this is like masterful what they do with the chronology of these movies.
Oh, it's amazing. So the third movie technically is Fast and Furious, which is Fast 4. Brian and Mia break Dom out of jail, and together they bring down a heroin importer infiltrating his operation. That's everybody that we give him. All right, then Fast 5.
Sorry, Fast 4, is that the one without Vin Diesel?
No, that's
There was
Tokyo
one without
Drift.
Vin Diesel?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Tokyo Drift, we're going to get to Tokyo Drift. That's 3, where we introduce Han.
Sorry, I thought there was one with Paul Walker, but not Vin Diesel.
Number two.
Why was there ever one without Vin Diesel?
Yeah, number one has Paul Walker, Vin Diesel. Number two just has Paul Walker and Tyrese and Ludacris. Number three has none of them, except for Vin Diesel in the closing credit, like Marvel cliffhanger sense. And then number four, they all come back. And then number four, then we know how it all ends.
I wonder why they all came back, huh?
Yeah. It's amazing that they all were able to come back when they stopped appearing in them after the first movie. So they break Dom out of jail, and then Fast 5, Dom, Brian, and their whole crew of characters plan a massive heist to buy their freedom while in the sights of a powerful drug lord and a dangerous federal agent. That's Ocean's 11, and we get Hobbs. Then Fast 6.
That's Brazil, right?
That's Brazil.
Great movie. That's an amazing movie.
Great movie.
Start to finish.
Great.
The rebirth of the franchise, really. Then Fast 6, Hobbs, Dom, and Brian reform their crew to take down a team of mercenaries, only to discover that they're hunting one of their own.
Oh, shit.
Who's Letty. Letty, who they thought died.
Right, but she just has amnesia, and she's working with the British guy.
Wait, that's 6?
That's 6,
I feel like she's been back for a while, but it was just last...
Just 6. At the end of 5, the Hobbs gets a file across his desk, and he's like, she's back.
Right.
And we don't know, we just see her picture.
Okay, but then she actually shows up in 6.
Exactly.
Okay. And that's also the one where Dumbledore dies, right?
Yes. Which was a very, very sad.
So then,
in the timeline of the film's timeline, not the film's being released, then we go to Tokyo Drift, which is about another character named Sean Boswell, a troubled youth who has to move to Japan to avoid jail time, and there he meets up with Han, who dies. But Han did come back in the other one.
Okay, so the end of 6 and the end of 3 are the joining of the two timelines.
Yes.
So wait, Han. Wait. Why did they do that?
Like, I hate this. I hate this so much. I hate this.
I only wish in retrospect that June had tried to explain all of this.
I hate all of it.
So
June doesn't even remember watching this movie.
Barely.
So at the end of Tokyo Drift, Han dies.
Han dies.
Okay. See,
and what was weird to everybody else was in Fast 5, Han's alive. And they're like, wait. And they're like, oh, 5 is a prequel. So
they, but was it like they just liked this guy so much they wanted him in Fast 5, and then they're like, oh fuck, okay, well then this movie from 2003 is actually takes place in 2015.
Yes, exactly. That's pretty much what they did, which is a bold fucking movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a straight up fuck you.
Yeah.
In the best way. In the best way. Because think about it. There's got to be so many people who love these movies who are like, wait, what? Wait, hey. You've seen this movie. That guy died, right? What the fuck is going on?
The only way I can kind of describe it in my head is like, I remember watching the Indiana Jones movies when I was a kid and there was no internet and it was like, I think Temple of Doom is before Raiders or like you, there was a timeline that you could figure out.
And
now
I'm still not sure about that one.
Yeah,
it is. Temple of Doom is a prequel, right?
Temple of Doom is after
it takes place before Raiders.
I think you're right. Yeah,
but the only
someone at home is mad right now.
Someone in the audience is mad.
Are we right or wrong? We're right. We're right. Okay,
but
the Temple of Doom is
why
before.
Though? For that movie, it makes no sense. There's no reason.
Yeah, it doesn't.
The correct order, in order of how good the movies are, would be Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
For sure.
Temple of Doom.
For sure.
Sean Connery. Melty Face Nazis.
Yeah. I actually, in all seriousness, do put Temple of Doom number one for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Temple of Doom a lot. I remember it really shocked me as a kid because that heart rip was pretty
kind of intense.
Now, not so much. Not so much at
now
all.
Now it's like, who fucking cares, man?
Now I can play a video game where I rip someone's heart out. And I do.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. I love Squarespace. I am in the middle of trying to balance my business life and my real life. This work-life balance, it's tough, but Squarespace has been helping me by giving me the tools to reach my goals and have time to celebrate. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the guided design system of Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layouts to styling options optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay. Plus, with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about. You choose your tone and enter what you need to get auto-generated perfect text. Anyway, I love Squarespace. I've been building sites with them from the beginning. And when I launched my book, I said I am doing it all myself on Squarespace, and I'm very pleased with it. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious, even in a sea of milk. The crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes, my family is all in on the Cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new Cinnamon Crunch now at a retailer near you and learn more at Cap'nCrunch.com.
All right, so we're in Fast and Furious 7 now.
Finally.
The gang's all here. The budget of this movie, $190 million.
Wow.
Give them more.
Yeah.
Wow.
And give them more.
You know what? Every single cent is up there on the screen.
100%.
Amen.
More power to them.
Opening week, so 190 to make. Opening weekend, 147 million.
Boom! Wow.
Domestic gross, 351 million. Worldwide gross, 1 billion, over a $1 billion. The fastest movie to gross $1 billion in only 14 days.
Jesus.
It's the third in the top movies in the past year to make the most amount of money, beaten by Avengers 2 and Jurassic World. But huge, giant movie. And there is an elephant in the room. One of the main characters in this film passed away in the middle of it, which is even crazier to think of that this movie was released. And actually, we were talking about this backstage. It's kind of flawless. You don't notice that that character is not there.
Oh, yeah.
I did have
very real anxiety, though, throughout the whole movie. Because I was just so acutely aware of the fact that Paul Walker died during the filming of this movie. And I knew that they had had to compensate within the movie for that. I thought they were going to kill him in the movie. So
yeah,
every
too.
Time something he would get into any kind of scrape alone, I would be like, oh, here it comes. Here it comes. In any one of these scenes, it's just going to be his brothers from now on. And that's going to be sad. And so there was like a real palpable sense of worry in my mind about Paul Walker in this movie.
Interesting, because they did kill him by fatherhood.
Yes.
Like, that was his...
Yes. Death.
That was his death.
Death by progeny.
Yeah. Which, you know, was upsetting. And I have to say, I know we're going to get into all of this. I actually did think they dealt with it beautifully. And I cried hysterically the last 2 minutes.
Oh, I cried.
I cried.
You will cry.
Like a baby.
Oh, who cried?
People cry.
Oh, cry. Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And I thought it was handled really well. But the way that they portray being a dad and the responsibilities of parenthood was fascinating. And it was, I almost felt like Paul Walker's character in the beginning wanted to be imprisoned by being a dad. And
he has reverse PTSD.
He does.
Because he wants the bullets.
Well, and but
he misses those bullets.
He misses
out
those
of
bullets.
Everything, it's the bullets?
But also, he has a giant minivan for one child. For one very small child. Like, there are just... And he's so burdened by it.
Yeah, and there's that scene between Vin Diesel and Jordana Brewster where she's like, I can tell he's miserable, and he hates me. And then Vin Diesel...
And Vin Diesel's like, ugh.
Yeah. Literally, Vin Diesel's like, you know you're the best thing that happened to her.
He might as well spend the whole movie going, I am Groot.
Yeah.
More emoting when he says, I am Groot.
But you know what's interesting is that I watched some of the behind-the-scenes extras on this, and when he's interviewed or when he's on set, he's like light on his feet, just like a very smiley.
Wow.
So it's all choices.
And, oh, yeah.
So
amazing choices.
It's incredible.
And well done.
Yeah. It is
well
amazing.
See, done.
I'll just read you this. I'll read you this one quote that Vin Diesel said, which kind of made me cringe a little, but he goes, Vin Diesel stated that Furious 7 is for Paul. Furious 8 is from Paul. The new one is going to be from him.
Because he's writing it in heaven?
A weird
thing. What does that mean?
I guess he will be sending down...
He's sending pages. He's sending pages down, guys. Oh, shit. I have so many ghost pages to read. Oh, Paul's sending us so many ghost pages.
It is a crazy statement to make. It is a crazy statement to make.
What color are Paul Walker's pages?
Goldenrod.
Goldenrod. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say that scene between Jordana Brewster and Vin Diesel when she's like, I do, and he says, well, you're the best thing that ever happened to him. And she's like, thanks. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Yes. And that was disturbing to me that I guess ostensibly the lead female character is completely propped up by she has absolutely no way of no compass of where she is in the world if it weren't for these two guys.
Yeah.
One unhappy but not telling her, so leaves her guessing about it. The other one telling her, no, you're fine, you're fine. You're the best thing that ever happened to him. Go fucking make him happy.
Yeah.
She's like, thank you so much. I feel
thank you for permission.
For as terrific as this movie is, that's like they need like a great female. I mean, I guess Michelle Rodriguez is a more strong, a much stronger character.
Well, June is. I think she is, but she's also kind of defanged because she's constantly. Right. I mean, not knowing where she's from.
They've also.
And she has like an attitude about it, but then when the shit gets going, she's like, oh fuck, I'm in. I'm here. I'm here.
They've also, at this point, either killed or marginalized the other female characters in the franchise. Right. Like Giselle, R.I.P. Giselle.
By the way, Giselle, Gal Gadot is listed in the opening credits, and she only appears in a picture.
Yeah.
Right.
Like. I was like, that's bold. Like, that's a pretty crazy...
See, I saw that in the
CAA,
credits.
CAA, bro.
Yeah. I saw that in the credits and got excited.
Me too. I was like, bring her back.
Yeah. And then Ronda Rousey gets nothing to do. And then Gina Carano was in the last one as well, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Gina Carano that from Haywire.
Well, I thought she was a great addition as well. Gone. And then the Brazilian woman who
Ramsey.
Is Hobbs is... Yeah. She gets nothing to
oh,
do.
Oh, not Ramsey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The I one mean, who looks
all,
like June.
All of the women are pretty inactive in the movie. I mean... Ramsey, too, is the best hacker in the world.
Yeah.
And we never get to see her really do much of anything.
Oh, there's a scene where they straight up hack, and Ramsey's standing behind Ludacris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the most powerful hacker in the world, and he's like, well, what about if we do this? And she's like, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
She looks like totally. Rihanna. And
totally.
That's brilliant. He's Ludacris.
It's
literally.
Ludicrous. It's ludicrous. I would say that I love... There's a couple things that I love about this movie.
Ramsay is played by the woman who plays Daenerys Targaryen's chief
of staff.
Is that
who that is?
Miss Andry, right? Is that her name, nerd?
Is that who that is?
Yes.
All I kept on thinking was they clearly wanted Rihanna. They did not get Rihanna. And they're like, she looks enough like Rihanna that we can get.
And by the way, who ended up with her in the end? Tyrese or Ludacris?
Luda. Wait, I don't know.
I don't remember.
Both of them.
Gotta stay tuned for Fast and Furious 8. Paul's walking.
Now, do you think she's going to be in the team now?
She has to be.
She gets murdered in between.
No. That would be amazing.
There's another Tokyo
dragon.
Movie. Yeah.
I would like it if all of their other franchises started seeping in. And like in the next one, there's just a dragon.
Yes.
Vin Diesel just wearing those Riddick glasses now.
Yeah. Just because they fucking can.
They could.
Why
they
not?
They could do that. Yep. And it, like this had spaceships. The people had superpowers. Like
okay,
this movie.
They are full on superheroes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's
yeah.
No,
absolutely.
At one point, they go. Kurt Russell's in this.
Ah, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, amazing.
Fucking awesome.
They utilized him correctly.
Yes, Kurt Russell and. Vin Diesel and Paul Walker and a bunch of military guys go to take out Jason Statham is in this movie.
Jason Statham opens the movie with a Hamlet style monologue.
Yes.
It's just the movie opens with a 2-minute monologue.
Yep.
It's pretty badass, all just on him.
Yep.
An incredible one-er too.
Yep. Yes, yeah.
Well, but
that's
weird,
great.
And I'm sorry to interrupt Jason, but the thing that's strange about that is that he's instructing the medical team to take amazing care of his brother and then proceeds to blow up the hospital.
Makes no
and
sense.
And all of the equipment and much of the staff.
Yeah, there, like, the hospital literally falls down as he drives away. That's not the safest bet. Like,
they will not be able to take care of his brother. And
definitely not.
The presumption is that he did that.
Yes. Oh, yeah, 100%.
The presumption is that he went in, demolished the people and the facility, then visited with his brother, and then was like, now that I have destroyed everything that will keep you alive, I'm out to avenge you.
Well, by the way, I want to talk about the idea of this, because it makes no fucking sense that he would even go there to have a monologue with his brother who is in a coma. Who? Why put yourself at that much risk and danger? Because your brother is dead, essentially. If his brother was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It would be one thing, but he's
brother
not.
Has no idea he's there.
His brother has no idea.
Like, that was a really good impression.
Of Brother Shaw. I don't know his name, yeah. Not Deckard.
Dracula. That's the guy. Dracula. Shaw.
This movie also does a thing that's pretty amazing. I think for the first half hour, a new character is introduced every 5 minutes or sooner. Like, it's like, oh, The Rock has a daughter. Oh, this guy is from Tokyo. Oh, who's this? I'm like, I can't keep up. I was like, it's like Game of Thrones. Like, you're thrown into an intense, intense world. That's all I have to say about
There's no reason for The Rock to have a daughter in the movie other than to just make The Rock seem like super nice.
But you know what was weird?
He, like, the daughter has no bearing on the story.
But the daughter actually, there's a line he says when I think Vin Diesel asks him how they're treating him in the hospital, he says, well, the sponge baths are really good. That's gross to say in front of your daughter.
Doesn't she go, ew, dad?
Yeah, and like, ew, dad.
I don't want to hear about girls touching your dong.
He's like, shut the fuck up, sweetie.
You wanna talk about someone who is not stopped by fatherhood? It's Hobbs. He's like, oh yeah, I'll drive this ambulance into a fucking drone. I don't give a shit.
This dude.
My daughter's clearly, I'm clearly a single parent. Yeah. I'll go out there and fucking fight a robot helicopter.
He's in a hospital room alone with his daughter. He looks out the window, sees an explosion, and is like, what's Vin Diesel's
Daddy's
last name?
Daddy's gotta go to work.
Toretto.
He goes, Toretto. And he goes, Daddy's gotta go to work. Hulks out his cast. It's like, Hulks out his cast, arms himself to the teeth. I guess all of his stuff is in the hospital with him. And he's like, I'll see you later, child. I am off to almost certain death.
And he says,
this
like,
this would terrify a child.
And he says, like, Meredith will be here in a few minutes. Yep. Like, what?
Who's Meredith?
Yeah. We'll find out in Furious 8.
My biggest problem with this movie is that there's no common law of pain or hurt. Like, you get blown out of a building, you land on the back of a car, you maybe have a broken arm.
Well, these are basically
you get thrown
superheroes.
Down a mountain, you're fine. Yep. You get thrown down a parking garage, you're almost dead.
Yep.
Like, you have a very serious head-on collision on purpose.
The same two people play chicken twice and smash into each other.
And
both times.
Totally. Not only fine, but somehow gain strength from it.
They crash into each other and are immediately out the door, ready to fight.
And pulling weapons off of their broken cars.
Yes. Yeah, making weapons.
Yeah.
When they do that, when Statham and Vin Diesel do that, what is, are they playing chicken? I genuinely didn't understand. What is the end game here? They want to be the car on top of the other car. They want to be.
Well, I'm gonna play.
Want?
Oh yeah.
I think we should play the scene for those of you at home. Just picture Vin Diesel and The Rock just driving fucking cars into each other.
They're so mad at each other.
But no.
That is terminal velocity. They would be dead. Neither of them is wearing seatbelts. Neither of them. Look, the only time...
And the Jason Statham just cracks his neck like, okay, better.
The only time that Vin Diesel puts a seatbelt on is after he's defeated Statham and he needs to just drive out of the parking garage. That's when he's like, gotta fucking buckle up. Not when he drives head on into an oncoming car.
Well, I would argue the safety in this movie is all over the map. They parachute out of an airplane and none of them are wearing helmets.
Nope.
And only later on do they give Ramsey a helmet. Like, yeah, you probably need this helmet. But Vin Diesel doesn't need a helmet.
Nope.
After this crash, don't they get out and Vin Diesel's like, oh, you doubled up the chassis or whatever, to somehow explain why they're both fine?
He's basically, I feel like that line is basically calling Jason Statham a pussy.
Yeah, he's like,
is that what that was?
Oh, you've got a stronger chassis. I'm the bigger man, audience at home. I'm the man. He's a douche.
This movie reeks of every character going, I can never lose. No character can lose. Here we go. They get out of the car. They're just breathing heavy right now. They immediately get out.
Out of the cars.
Yeah, there's no...
They would be next level dead.
Their heads would be in each other's cars.
Yes. Yes.
Never should have messed with a match family.
I told your brother the same thing. Reinforce your chassis. It's like going into a ring with weighted gloves.
Your mistake. I know how to play games. See, you and me, we're from different worlds. Trust me, I've seen a lot meaner streets than the ones you're used to.
Stick around. It's gonna get a lot meaner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right about that thing. It's like, I think Vin Diesel always has to have the upper hand.
Always.
Like, he's, by the way, Vin Diesel is holding a very large like pipe wrench.
He's basically saying it's like entering a ring with weighted gloves. He's basically saying you cheated at driving into each other with our cars.
I don't
like,
understand.
You cheated at this thing we do, which is drive full speed into each other with our cars.
Like, why? Like, isn't that smart? Like, if you're going to be in a head-on collision, don't you want a little protection?
He also says it as if this is something he does on the reg.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, fucking cheater?
Yeah,
bullshit,
right.
Man. Like, this should be the height of the... because what I think they're trying to show is they're so adamant about killing each other that they'll even kill themselves to kill the other one. Like, that's...
Right.
But he treats it as if...
But he's basically calling Statham... He's basically saying to Statham, you have no honor. You have no honor on
but
the streets.
It makes no sense. That makes no sense.
No.
But still, it was terrific.
And if you think it's terrific, they do it second
time.
I know. But this time, doesn't he go up?
Yeah. But it is interesting they do it a second time because clearly they do know at that point we are both going to do it. Yeah. We're both going to crash into each other. So at that point, the decision is like, well, let's do that. Let's both crash into each other. It's not about like, oh, maybe, you know, he'll get scared right beforehand. It's like, no, let's do that.
Yeah, well, but I would argue that this is like, because they can't kiss each other, they make their cars kiss.
Yeah, it's like docking with cars. Yeah.
Well, the second time, this might as well be a David Cronenberg movie. Vin Diesel's car does take the active position, gets on top of
it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking mounts it in that car fuck. And then he starts shooting him.
Yeah.
His load. He starts shooting his load into Statham's car.
And Statham, not to be deterred, Statham is shooting his load up through the floor. Statham is a power bottom in this sense.
You may be fucking me in the ass, but my ass is fucking you in the dick.
Yeah.
I can get fucked, but guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to shoot cum right behind me, and it's going to hit you in the face.
Yeah.
I think of these two characters, and pretty much every character in this movie, it's like watching Terminators. Everyone's a Terminator.
Yeah.
No one gets hurt.
Oh, I mean, the craziest part, the one that the most egregious was when they're in Abu Dhabi and they need to get under the car. So Vin Diesel just lifts the car up.
Yeah. Yep.
Just lifts it up. He's like, I mean, he's like, it's heavy,
yeah.
But he lifts a fucking car.
Oh, yeah. No, Vin Diesel is basically the Hulk in these movies.
They are the Avengers.
Yes.
Like, he can't, a person can't do that, right? Lift up a car?
I agree. I think
know.
Probably not.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, Vin Diesel does not, like, if it was The Rock, I would be like, maybe.
Yeah, and Vin Diesel does do that with very little effort. Once he has it, he's like, let's hurry up, Paul Walker.
Yeah, yeah.
But he does lift it in
lifts
one
a
fell
car.
Swoop. Yeah, he lifts a car.
They
lifts a car.
Still, terrific movie.
The other thing, too, is in this movie, there's no explanation why every single one of them is an expert in karate.
Yep.
Like, there are no more street fights. This is fucking MMA crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, pop, 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 and they're
ludicrous.
Kicking. Ludicrous. Like, yeah, I was like, when did he learn to fight?
Right.
He's the hacker.
Right.
Everyone is kick-ass in this movie.
I actually liked Ronda Rousey's fight. I thought it was really good.
I think that, because I said, I was like, it's. I feel like it's like a real MMA fight. It just feels oddly brutal. It feels like the most brutal of all the fights.
I think the last fight that she had, some nerd can correct me, but I believe she won in like 36 seconds.
Really?
I believe she went out and was like, bam, 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 and the woman was like, thump.
It would have been cool if she had more to do in the movie, though. You're right. Like,
yes.
If she had, like...
Oh, yeah.
You want her to join the team. That's what I thought. I was like, she should be in the next one. I mean, but it's going to be hard. Or maybe not. I mean, they brought back characters from the dead.
They should have a scene where she kicks the shit out of Vin Diesel or The Rock or something.
Impossible.
Like, it would be great if...
Impossible for a girl to beat Vin Diesel?
I know.
I have heard from a very high up... This is a confirmed thing. Now they all have in their contracts that none of them can lose a fight.
Are you serious? Yes. Are you serious?
Yes, that is... It is now across the board... None of them can lose. So they have to bring in new people to lose so they can never fight.
Really? Like,
yes. It started with The Rock and Diesel in 5 or 6 when they have their... when The Rock and him have a fight. It was supposed to be like the Hobbs is going to take down Vin Diesel. And they're like, no, Vin doesn't want that. And so they spent 3 days discussing how it could be. So I think that they both...
They simultaneously both punch each other.
Punch each other. And then Diesel's immediately held back. Like, I could have got him. Like, I think everything is like, I was right there. You stopped me from killing him.
So it was a tie.
It's basically a draw.
Everything is a draw. If the main characters fight, it's a draw.
If Tyrese was smart, he'd go to producers and be like, I'll lose every fight.
Yeah.
He would instantly, like, because he is, like, the comedic relief
he's
in the movie.
He's amazing in the
and
movie.
And he's terrific.
I'm
he's the best.
He's great.
Love
but if,
Roman.
If he could then come in and be, like, and always be getting his ass kicked, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great.
They all, like, hit the target.
They're so great.
I do want to talk about one thing that happened early in the movie. Vin Diesel says he's leaving the hospital after visiting Hobbs. And he goes, I'm going to Tokyo. I'm going to bring Han home. I'm like, isn't Tokyo Han's home?
Yeah.
Right.
So he's going to Tokyo bring the body back to L.A. for an L.A. burial? That's his home.
Take him away from his family? Take his body away from his family?
He's Dom's family.
Yeah, no, yeah. Dom makes that very clear.
I want to see
family,
that.
Trump's real family.
I would love to see that deleted scene. I'm taking your son. Yeah,
what?
He's coming
what?
With me.
Two Japanese people, like, you don't speak English. Like, what? What are you doing? Your son's coming. This body's coming with me.
What? Why?
What? What?
That's our son.
I did pull this.
That's like a horror film in which an American behemoth comes and steals the corpse of your son.
It's like,
this is mine?
It follows, but with Vin Diesel.
That'd be amazing. I would love a Japanese horror movie with that plot line. That's just about two elderly Japanese parents
Diesel
whose son
Duke.
Is killed in a car accident, and an American giant comes and tries to take the body. And what they have to go through to keep and bury their son.
It only takes him 3 days, though.
I wanna play this scene just because if you're listening to it, you miss something that I think is pretty great, which is Vin Diesel is doing a eulogy for Han. Now, the way it's shot, Simultaneously, so is the priest doing a eulogy. Just to watch the scene, because the priest is also talking. You'll see when they go wide.
They say to live in the hearts of those we leave behind is not to die.
So he's talking.
But he put you in his grave.
Now, you'll see.
So now I'll do the same to him.
Now, there's a priest off to the side reading from a prayer book, visibly reading. So,
and Vin Diesel is at the casket in the cemetery, like putting a picture of Giselle on the casket.
Yeah.
And everybody else is like, it's not the part where everybody comes and puts flowers up.
No, the priest is still doing the service.
He's having like a private moment in front of, he is the biggest narcissist in the world.
I feel like he has a real thing about Han's body.
Yeah, man.
Like he has to. That was when he put her photo on it. I got confused for a second, actually. I thought, like, wait, is this her? Because she died in the last one.
Yep.
Like, whose funeral is this? Well, it was definitely Han's, right?
Definitely Han's.
Because he went and stole
the body. Well, because
he went. They were together.
So he stole the body.
Brought
it back.
He's
like, I'm burying this in America.
By the way, I would have loved that scene more.
No, please, not, no.
Why? It would dishonor our family.
No, this is honor my family. I am Groot.
But we are heartbroken. This is our son.
Have a bucket of Corona. Ease your worries.
Oh my God, the Corona bucket.
Even the bucket said Corona.
I know.
And what's his face knew that he would want a Corona immediately.
I thought Kurt Russell was like, I can't believe I'm fucking doing this.
Oh yeah.
By the way, check this out. Kurt Russell, they offered the part originally to Denzel Washington, who said no. And then they offered it to Taylor Lautner, who said,
what?
No.
Wait.
No.
And then.
Wait.
That's
the
not
Kurt
right.
Russell part?
Yes.
Taylor Lautner.
Yes.
The kid.
Different choice from Twilight.
That's mind blowing.
Get ready for the third one, Halle Berry.
I'm into that.
I kind of like
that too.
I'm very into that.
But crazy, like, bum, bing, 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 bing. Like, I mean, like, that was just like throwing darts at like a GQ magazine and they just found whoever. I mean, that's.
And also Jim Broadbent.
And Jim Belushi.
I would have liked to have seen Denzel Washington in this. I think he would have been great.
Oh, awesome.
He would have been great.
Well, this movie, this franchise is like the much better younger Expendables. They just keep adding action stars to it, making action stars out of the people in it.
Well, because to me, I found this to be better than Avengers 2. Like, hands down, I was like, I like this more than Avengers 2.
I disagree, but I get where you're coming from.
You thought Avengers 2 was better than this?
I enjoyed Avengers 2 maybe a little bit more. But
interesting.
But I loved this movie. Don't get me wrong. It's the best movie I've ever seen.
By the way, just real quick, Han's name, in case you don't know, is Han Solo.
No.
Yes.
What?
Seriously?
Yes. His name is, it's spelled S-E-O-U-L-O, Han Solo. But that's how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Well, that's
amazing.
Wow.
his character was nothing like Han Solo. Like, he was just a sweet guy.
Yeah, his first name was Han.
It was just for fun.
And fun was had. Like, everyone
absolutely
had fun with that.
It was a great time.
All right, so they meet up with Kurt Russell.
Sorry, there was just this one thing in that fight in the trailer when the camera goes up with The Rock and Jason Statham in the office. The camera goes up and then down onto the desk.
Yeah.
That's great, but there's also another shot that's even cooler, I thought, where one of them reaches up and grabs a fluorescent light.
Yeah.
And the camera just kind of subtly goes up with them to grab the light and bring it down onto the other guy. That was so just so kick-ass.
I think there's so many great scenes. I mean, even when Statham and The Rock run at each other, kind of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. They meet in midair. They both get so much height.
It's so good.
And for two men who are below 5'6",
right.
They have a high vertical.
There's also a number of shots that just open on asses. On female asses.
Yeah.
Like, a crazy number.
Oh, like in the
desert.
There
could have been more.
Sure.
The desert when Vin Diesel brings Michelle Rodriguez to try and jog her memory.
Yes.
Out into the, and the girl that's telling them to start in the, yeah. So many shots of
so
that girl's ass.
By the way, they say in this movie that they invented race wars, which is that it's out of context, sounds bad. In the movie, it says a race in the desert, but they go, we invented that. But in the first movie, they just go to race wars, and they never mention that they invented it there. They just go to it. They're just participants.
Well, he's lying to her.
Yeah. Making their lives a lot better. I wanted to talk about, in the beginning, The Rock's stamp. The Rock yes. has a stamp. First of all, The Rock is sweaty in the office. I
he's
have a picture.
What do you mean he has a stamp?
The Rock has a stamp. Sweaty Rock. This is a Sweaty Rock. This is him when he's just in the office. He's in Under Armour and sweating through the Under Armour, and all he had been doing is stamping captured. So he has like a bunch of files come across his desk and like just like a ka-chunk captured.
And captured is easily 7 inches long. It is enormous captured.
Why would you need a captured stamp? Aren't we all on digital records
right,
at this point?
Like,
isn't that probably in a drop-down menu?
Yeah.
At large, on the run. Oh, captured.
Or ka-chunk. Or just everyone ka-chunk. That works there is like, oh yeah, that guy got captured.
Yeah.
Like everyone just knows.
Yep.
Well, it's going to go in the filing cabinet at the top secret police department.
The thing I was going to say about race wars is he brings her out there. Sorry. He brings her out there and I was watching that scene and just thinking, this looks like the worst day, the worst way to spend your day. Like, it's out
it
in
there.
The middle of the desert.
Dusty.
104 degrees.
It's like Burning Man for cars, but exhaust.
God, this is exhaust and sand and everyone's
and I also
like,
feel like
dancing.
You can't see anything.
Right.
Like, it's a horrible
Nobody's
thing.
Having fun.
No, not one.
Nobody's person. Having fun.
But there's poor extras that day.
Oh, God.
Well, our eagle-eyed, one of our eagle-eyed interns here, Avril, she pointed out that when Letty races, she races in these.
Yes.
Sandals.
Yeah, that was weird.
She races
thing.
In sandals.
Like,
it was weird.
This is a real Quentin Tarantino shot right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really dangerous to be doing a high-powered car.
I don't feel comfortable driving to Gelson's in flip-flops.
No. I take those flip-flops off and go barefoot. When
you're
I'm,
safer.
Yeah.
For sure.
You can feel the pedals.
That's right.
You can feel a lot of different things.
Oh, I was going to say, to the point earlier that these are basically superhero movies, when Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Kurt Russell, and the military guys go to attack Jason Statham, they're like all armed to the teeth. It's like they're badass mercenary guys or whatever. And only Vin Diesel's gun sounds like a laser gun.
Yeah.
Only
Wait,
Vin
what?
Everybody else's gun is like brr, brr. Vin Diesel's gun is like pew pew pew.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Star Wars gun.
Totally.
I heard it the first time and I was like, wait, what is that?
Yeah.
And then I was like, Vin Diesel made them make his gun have a more badass sound than every other gun.
But to me, it didn't sound badass. It just sounded fictional.
Yes.
It just sounded like a laser gun.
I feel like my character.
My character is Space Gun.
Space Gun. I am Groot.
When they parachute out of the airplane, this is something I did not know. That was real.
Yeah.
They did it practically. Each car had a parachute, and 70% of the cars landed perfectly in their drop zones. 30% did not.
Did you watch that little making of thing?
No, I didn't know. Is it great?
It's great. The iTunes thing, you get the, you know,
yeah,
it's
the
great.
Extras,
guys,
yeah.
iTunes. I mean,
I'm all in. I bought it on iTunes. I had no problem.
No, but you should watch it. It's crazy. Like, each car would go out with three people. Three skydivers holding onto the car and going down with it, and they had GoPros on their heads.
So crazy.
It was insane. It's insane.
Were there people in the cars? Or no?
No, I don't think so.
I do wonder about Fast 8 because there are truly only so many places cars can go at this point.
Right. Well, this movie,
underwater, swimming?
We're going to have underwater cars and space cars in 8, I think.
Where else could they go?
Space cars would be amazing if they could shoot up.
Yep.
If they stop an alien invasion, I would like it. Did you also know, like, this is another, like, weird fact, too, like, that only 10% of the action sequences in this film use CGI. And it's just to erase wires. So, which seems very low. But I guess they did wreck 230 cars during this movie.
And they're like 230. Mercedes and stuff.
Well, yeah.
It's like really nice cars.
Yeah, they're really, that's crazy. All right. I can't believe that. There's a lot of stuff going on here. One thing I noticed when they were in Dubai is they all get their own car.
Yep.
They're always all getting their own cars.
Like insane cars.
Yes.
Which I can't imagine how they're like, okay, we got to go to Abu Dhabi or whatever. And then it's like, okay, what do they give? Like a rider that's like, here's what we need. We need like sun chips. We need Gatorade. Yeah. We need like
Someone be like, hey, we got a 16-pass van. Can we just put you all in there and you get to the...
Right. We need nine insanely rare cars.
Now, Jason, not to revisit your old auditions, but you auditioned to be this man in...
I did. Yeah. I auditioned to be the fixer guy in Abu Dhabi.
Wow.
If you can believe it.
Boy, did they fuck up.
Yeah. And just like was very heartbroken to not get it, but I thought that guy executed really well.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Great.
He was good, but I mean, come on.
I would have crushed it.
Yeah. I also started wondering, like, all their travels, and they're always, like, doing... Like, when do they, like, sleep and take shits?
Yeah.
Like, they're all, like, always...
Well, you know what's interesting about the whole team is... And believe me, I love the friendship that comes through in the movie. I want to be a part of the family. I really do. And that's what makes it so amazing. But you never really see them just... in any downtime. You never just... Every moment with all of them is so heightened.
Well, they also all feel like... And the Jordana Brewster-Vin Diesel scene we mentioned earlier is like a very a perfect example of it. They all feel as though they are strangers to each other. Every conversation people are having is as if they've never spoken before.
You're right. And then, it's all very introductory.
Yes.
And
I was also confused because... Vin Diesel seems to live in the same house that Paul Walker and Mia live in.
Right.
Because his garage is back there, which is inexplicably not harmed by the giant bomb that blows up half the block.
Right.
But it seems like Paul Walker is like bringing his kid down to school from that house. But then Vin Diesel lives there, too.
I thought they all live together. I thought, again, I don't remember any of the other movies, but I thought in that scene... That was Vin Diesel and Jordana Brewster's childhood home that they now live in. And it's a situation where, you know, it's all about family. They all live together.
Yeah, they live in this house in downtown Los Angeles. But then when they decide that Jordana Brewster needs to
be safe,
be exiled, they go to the South Pacific in a mansion with, like... I didn't get that.
I think that guy they meet up with he took his part of the money from the safe operation and then built that mansion or bought that mansion.
Okay.
That guy is another guy
that
I know.
That guy was from a previous movie?
He's Brazil, I'm pretty sure, right? Okay, people don't know.
It's
five characters, every 5 minutes, a new character, and you're like, I think I know that guy.
It was interesting, though, that first explosion, because it felt like they waited for... that Jason Statham waited for all of them to get out of the house.
Oh, yeah.
Safely and soundly to and put set it in the bomb almost, off.
In a comical box, like wrapped tape, like caution, Japanese words all over it.
And Vin Diesel made a joke when he saw the box. Yeah. He's like, a box from Tokyo is on sending me a turbocharger. What did he say?
Right, he was like,
like some sort of joke about turbochargers.
Like Japanese auto part or something like that. I won't use that bullshit.
The whole movie is predicated on finding this piece of technology called God's Eye.
Wait, what is it called?
God's Eye, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't say it enough in the movie. Oh.
And it's like, it's the nonsense piece of it's the microchip of the thing.
If we used this on Osama bin Laden, we would have found him in four
minutes.
And
it's basically this piece of Big Brother surveillance that allows you to find people wherever they are and, you know, to co-ops traffic cameras and people's cell phone cameras. And so they're all constantly being revealed. Their locations are constantly being revealed. And I was like, just go inside somewhere.
Yeah.
Go inside almost anywhere.
Yeah.
Turn your phones off. Can't find you.
Yeah.
You're literally so safe.
Yeah. And what? Maybe go pull up into a parking space and get out of your car and go into
go
a
inside.
Building. Yeah.
Go the fuck inside. Stop getting in cars.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, there. Speaking of the car thing too, there's one point when they go out to go bust Jason Statham when he's eating his meal. Of grenades.
How do you have time to make that meal?
But that guy is lousy with grenades and small bombs.
By the way, I wanted to know how that kind of went down. Like, he's eating a nice steak in a warehouse, so someone had to deliver that, or like he brought it there and then set up his own table. Like, there was a sad preparation went on before that. So he's eating his steak, a bloody steak, and before they go, Vin Diesel was like, "My team, they're drivers. They're not killers." No, they're fucking killers.
They actually are killers.
Like, Paul Walker shoots like 10 people in the head on that buzzer.
Yeah.
Pop, 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 pop. Like, without any hesitation at all.
They're
like,
constantly killing people.
And the whole purpose of this trip is vengeance,
yes.
Really. So yeah. They are killers.
Yes, the purpose
vengeful
they have all
killers.
Set out for is murder.
Yeah. Yes, they are trying to assassinate somebody.
They are united in their desire to end
murder.
The life of another human being.
Yeah, it's not to drive at all. That has nothing to do with it.
No.
It almost felt like they forgot about Han. I mean, really, that's who they're avenging. And it doesn't seem like they're like, "Let's do this for Han." They're like, at a certain point, it's like, "Let's just kill fucking Jason Statham." Yeah. Like, there's no...
Yeah, they don't give a shit about Han.
Yeah, like, at the end of the movie, they're not like, "We did it for Han."
No.
No mention of Han at the end. It was like, yeah, nothing for Han.
Nah.
Han's parents.
No love
just
for
crying,
Han.
Just crying, "Why did that monster take our boy?"
Yeah. They took
Where
his
is our son?
Oh my gosh. I feel like we haven't
even... We didn't talk about the car driving through three buildings in Abu
Dhabi.
Oh
my God.
Which is huge. That scene is amazing.
Amazing.
I love that. I mean, yeah, that is... Watching it again in the trailer, you can just see it's like... It's all... I mean, this movie does take everything up a level. I don't know where it goes.
It's great. I mean, like, speaking of Temple of Doom, like, that moment where the car goes out the one building and into the next. And I was watching it today. I had seen it when it came out, but was kind of going through it again today. And watched it with about half an hour of it with my son, who's only 8. So I thought, like... This section is probably appropriate. One thing that I noticed is that in this movie, in PG-13 movies, this one in particular, they say shit constantly because they can say shit. You can't say fuck, right?
Yeah, you
can
say one fuck.
They say one fuck. Shit constantly in this movie. Did they say fuck at all?
I don't think they pull the fuck trigger.
Oh my God, they say shit like every 10 seconds. But it goes in one building into the next one, and I had forgotten there's a third one, and such a great moment. It's Temple of Doom, like going that extra.
Feel like again, parachuting out of an airplane with real cars is crazy.
This is so good.
Smashing, that's the thing that is always fascinating to me, is every plan they need to execute has to incorporate cars.
Well, you're right.
Yeah, it's so weird.
No matter what the mission, they've got to have their cars.
Because I was thinking about that mission in particular where they have to go retrieve God's eye from that, you know, tour bus. And
it's the Lady Antebellum tour bus.
It's like what you go to Tahoe in, like with
But it would have been so much easier to just parachute as themselves.
Yes.
And land on the tour bus, around the tour bus.
100%.
So much easier than to take your car with you.
Can you imagine if they were like, "We've located Osama bin Laden. We know where he's in. He's in Abbottabad." And they were like, we're assembling SEAL Team 6. And they were like, "We need 2 Mustangs, 3 souped up Hondas, and 4 Chevy Impalas."
And they're like,
"And
no,
we want
no,
to
no,
drop
no.
them all out of a helicopter, an airplane."
No, we need to do it. Just you need to jump out of an airplane and land
nope.
on the ground.
Nope, I need to be strapped into something full of gasoline.
No.
And dropped out of an airplane. so that I have the most chance to succeed in getting Osama bin Laden.
Well, you're the expert. Okay, let's get it ready.
Let's do this.
I also love that they are, in this movie, again, we talked about the chicken, they are always like, fuck you, I'll do it. And I was like, they drive, when he drives, Vin Diesel's cornered by the guy from Amistad and
Jaimin Hunsu.
Yeah, and they are there, and he's like, all right,
Anthony Hopkins.
And they're like, we're gonna drive. He just drives down a steep mountain, like, and just drive, like, and then you find out later he outfitted the car for that scenario, like, just in case I need to drive down the steep cliff of a mountain
through dense forest.
Yeah. And he doesn't wear a helmet. He makes the other girl wear a helmet, Ramsey, and he seems to be I think he cracks his neck.
Fine. Yeah, he's fine.
And the car just falls apart to become like, there's not, like, they make a whole thing like, oh, it's protective. But no, all pieces of the car fall off. It's just a frame at the end.
No, yeah. Every single character in this movie experiences something that should kill them. Like dead. We should be watching a movie full of main character deaths over and over and over again. But we don't. Nobody dies.
Yeah.
But they don't even recognize that it was hard.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that's kind of crazy to me. It's like, it's not like, oh, we got out of that one. It's like, of course we got out of that one.
There is a scene.
I had a car.
Where after Vin Diesel defeats Jason Statham, Jaimin Hunsu's helicopter is shooting missiles at the parking garage at him, and he's like, okay, I have a plan. Now, this plan is impossible for him to have thought of, but he drives down the thing, the shooting missiles, the building begins to collapse. The building collapses in a way that creates a ramp.
Yes.
He jumps his car up the ramp and flies. Yes. Flies. Yes. He flies in a car that, because of its outfitted with all this nonsense, probably weighs a ton. Well, probably 1 ton. He flies in the air, grazes the helicopter, and somehow manages to hang a bag of grenades. Yeah. On the side of the hang.
And this is not the craziest part. Continue.
He was able to find a little hook.
Yes. Yeah. To delicately hang a bag of grenades out
and
the window. He is, I don't know, 400 feet in the air at this point.
And going probably 130 miles per hour.
And yes. Meanwhile, cross town, The Rock sees this, pulls out a gun, is in total sync with the plan. Yep. It's like, bam! Like,
and the grenades,
shoot that back.
And the grenades explode. Like, that is more fantastical than any scene in any superhero movie.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
There are worse problems with the physics of all of that than in every Marvel movie ever. The concept of Ant-Man makes more sense.
Yeah. The concept of lifting a city up in Avengers 2 makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like that is crazy. I mean, this whole end sequence is amazing because I never count, like, they're demolishing Los Angeles. Demolishing it.
This is
cop cars. Three.
Yeah.
There's no other cop cars out there. You would think this would be like a even at the end, there's no ambulances.
Right.
Well, Hobbs crashed the only ambulance in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and also the hospital is right there.
Yeah.
Because he saw the explosion.
Yeah, he got right out.
And ran over there and took care of business.
Just flexed that cast right off.
I thought the bus thing, not to jump to another part of the movie,
no,
but
please.
The bus thing where Paul Walker runs up the bus and catches that's I think my favorite part
it was
of
amazing.
The movie.
It was
but
amazing.
Again, like, he lands on the ground after jumping off of the bus, grabbing onto Michelle Rodriguez's car and doing like a 360, letting go, rolling into the dirt. And anybody in that situation would just be losing their fucking mind.
I for sure would shit my pants.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%
my God. Any one of us.
And you would not stop. Like, that character for the rest of the movie would just be talking about
that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Over and over again.
Guys, you don't understand. I had to run up, and Ludacris is like, yeah, no, we heard, I know.
No,
yeah.
that bus, you saw the bus.
Yeah.
That bus was on the edge of the cliff, and I ran.
I got out the bottom.
Yeah.
Bro, I got out the bottom.
I swung on it Uncharted style.
I was hanging by the door.
Yeah.
And then right when I was in the air, I wasn't going to make it. Michelle's car.
We got to plan this next mission, man. We got to plan this
next
mission.
No, but you don't understand.
No, I know. But
she was.
We got to plan this next
she
mission.
She almost died, too. I grabbed onto the back of her car, and she kept going, and we are safe.
Are they all?
Jesus Christ, you guys.
God's eye is up.
Fuck.
I feel like the only legit explanation is that they're all telepaths because there's no way to communicate. There's no way for her to go, oh, maybe he didn't get out of that van. Maybe I should just go over there and graze the back of my car
right.
to catch him at that moment.
Because from her POV, it just looks like a bus careening and then slowly sliding off the edge of a... She has no fucking idea.
By the way,
down here.
You could solve a lot of... I mean, if you wanted to even justify it a little bit, just put earpieces in and be like, hey, I need you. And
Well, they
spend the whole movie with actual walkie-talkies in their hands.
Right.
So they're driving and are like, hey, guys, you got to get up here.
Yeah.
Why? Get headsets. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Two like, hands on the wheel.
Ludacris, set everybody up with some fucking headsets, bro.
Yeah.
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 But the catching of the car, Michelle Rodriguez, I felt like this was so indicative of what these movies are about, which is Michelle Rodriguez doesn't catch Paul Walker, her car does.
Right.
Like, they are all, it's like they are,
cars.
Voltron or something. They are all stronger for being inside of these extensions of themselves.
Yeah.
And Fast 8, please, producers of Fast 8, make it so that their cars can come together and form a mega car.
One giant car.
That would be great.
By the way, it would form the robot from Iron Giant.
Yeah.
And Vin Diesel. I want to get to the audience. I know there's a lot of stuff to talk to, but I feel like the audience is going to bring up some things that we may have not have talked about. So let's go out here. If you have a question, let me bring down some prizes. If you have a question about this movie, something we haven't talked about yet, let us know. Here you go. Where's your... All right, great. Your name, and who's your favorite character, and your question.
My name is Bree. I've got to say that Groot guy.
The Groot guy. We love Toretto.
He's a fun guy. Yeah. I just wanted some clarification. I thought the whole backing the cars out of the airplane plan was Tyrese's plan, but then he seemed super surprised that that's what was happening.
You're right.
Oh, wow. Great.
You're right.
Well, I think Tyrese's plan was to hit them at that place. He didn't know that would mean dropping them out of an airplane. And he's chicken, which I think is very funny.
All right, I got
Tyrese sympathizer over here.
All right, ma'am, your name, your best impression of Vin Diesel saying, my family, and your question.
My name is Jesse. My family.
Pretty good.
That was great.
Kurt Russell tells Vin Diesel when they first meet, like, hey, why don't you just wait for Jason Statham to show up? And he's like, nah, I'm going to go find him. And then Jason Statham keeps showing up everywhere they are. Like, what was the whole point of the movie? Just wait.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He follows them all over the world.
Because Jason Statham's only goal is to kill them. I mean, he's hunting them. So just stay put.
I guarantee that was Vin Diesel being like, I can't be passive. I need to take the pain to him.
All right, sir, your name, your best Vin Diesel saying, it's my family, or anything with a family in it, and your question.
My name is Justin. Mi familia. And I thought James Wan did a great job for his first time out here, but I have an idea for number 8. With Paul Walker gone, you kind of have to go fresh. And I know Tom Hardy in Mad Max is leaving, so let's bring Furiosa, Furiosa 8, Fury Road.
Ooh, so combine worlds. Not really a question, but just really a pitch.
Yeah. Sounds
well,
good
we're,
to me.
We're the people to pitch it to, so.
Yeah, by the way.
Sold.
By the way.
You're pitching Fast and Furiosa.
Yeah. I would pitch James Wan is now doing the new Star Trek. Let's merge that. So space battles, but like cars. So they all have their own spaceships.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be awesome.
Okay, here we go. Another question. Here we go. Sir, yes. All right, your name, your best Vin Diesel impression, and your question.
My name is Eric. Can I get a Corona?
Wait.
Yeah. That's wait, a perfect Vin Diesel.
Say
can
like,
I get a Corona?
Say my family as Vin Diesel. My family as Vin Diesel.
My family.
Right. Now
that
question.
Was good.
So I just want to, I'm curious to know, at the end of the movie, you see Statham locked up. Do you think he escapes, loses his memory, and becomes Chev Chelios?
Ooh. Crank crossover.
Oh, man, that would be fucking awesome. That would be an amazing discovery.
But by the way, he is Chev Chelios, right? I mean...
But wait, so all of these Fast and Furious movies are prequels to...
Crank 1 and 2. Crank.
Oh, yes. I see how you're pitching it. Yes. Oh, okay.
I love that idea, and I would also love, I will say, and I thought James Wan did a great job.
We all love
James
Wan.
I would like Neville Dean and Taylor to direct Fast 8.
Be awesome.
But nobody else does. Everybody else is like, maybe, I don't know.
All right, sir, your name, your Vin Diesel saying my family, and your question.
My name's Jay. My family.
Great.
My question is, somebody up there, I think it was Adam, asked, when did Ludacris learn how to fight? My question was, when did Ludacris learn how to hack? Because he was an auto mechanic in the first movie.
That is a very good point.
Was he?
Two stickers for you.
So before this, he was just like a
car repairman in Miami,
that is
which
so
is true
funny.
Because there's another point too where Paul Walker in the second one, Too Fast, Too Furious, he said like he meets Roman and he's like, oh, this is my old racing buddy. But in this movie, you go, remember when we were at prom? And they're like, yeah, they're like, oh, they went to high school together.
But what are Roman's special skills?
Anyone know? Does anyone know Roman's special skills?
He's the
anyone?
Joker.
Charm?
Charm.
He gets in because of charm?
He's like Face Man on the A-Team.
But he, all right, I guess so.
Okay.
All
right. Not, yeah, right? Yeah, Face Man, yeah.
Yeah. Face.
Face.
She did, because when the new girl pinpointed at what everyone's role, she said the Joker. And
right. But
and
I
he
mean,
said, no, I'm alpha. I'm also alpha, but never said like what he does.
Yeah, I guess he just is there for distraction purposes, like in the party scenes.
And he's doing a great job at that.
Yeah.
By the way, I'd see a whole Roman movie. Yeah, go ahead. That would be a great way to kind of split them off. Do reverse Avengers. So it's like
split
they start with this and you go,
movies.
Yeah, individuals. All right, sir, your name, my family is Vin Diesel, and your question. I'll hold the mic.
Hi, my name is Brad, and this is about my family.
Good.
Subtle.
And my question is for June. In the last act, I would call it the third act, but there were, I think, 17 acts in this movie. So in the last act, there was a lot of talk about returning this fight to the streets and about street fighting and about how the fight between Dom and Shaw was a street fight. And for you, did this bring up a lot of questions that you had unanswered from Street Fighter?
June famously
actually,
not knowing what a Street Fighter is.
Well, I think I'm getting closer to knowing, because it seemed from this movie like when you need to fight like a Street Fighter, you pick up like a wrench.
Well, but
so
did
I think
you?
I'm getting closer.
You learned. I do think you might have learned a little bit more about it in this movie, because what we learned in this movie is that the street always wins.
I wrote that down. I wrote that down, and I was like, that was something that sounds cool and makes
no sense.
No sense.
Nope. The street always wins.
The
so that
street
means
always
they
wins.
Must both lose. So that must mean everyone. It's like the house always wins. Like,
but
that means the casino is winning. So. Neither Vin
wins?
Nor Statham
wins.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. And also being in a street fight, like with two big pieces of metal fighting another guy with, like anyone that's done that, it's like a horrible thing that happened in your life.
Right.
Like, Jesus, like no one wants to do that again. And these guys are just like, no, street fighting is the way, like let's...
This is how we settle it.
Yeah.
By the way, I will again point out, these guys have never been fighters. Now they are just like equipped at like multiple weapons, like out of a video game.
They, they both have Vin Diesel has two giant, comedically large wrenches that might. They both basically have two swords.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And they are so expertly attacking each other with two sword action that you're like, when did they ever learn this?
Right.
Jason Statham is a little man who takes on The Rock, and they seem like equals. I mean, The Rock has to be like 9 feet taller than Jason Statham. I mean, he's a giant man.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, cars are very comfortable to land on, too. That's not a big problem, right? That one perfectly placed car underneath the hotel. Your name, your Vin Diesel impression, and your question.
My name is Robin, and everybody else took the good ones. I actually wanted to answer a question from earlier, because you asked why didn't Vin Diesel be in the second or third one, and that was right after XXX and Pitch Black had come out, and he refused to do sequels at the time because he was too big for them.
And now he's just promised three more Fast and Furious movies.
Wow.
That's the newest piece of information. Yes.
That's great.
Three more.
Awesome.
That's great.
I actually did have a question. So if in the next movie we get another Shaw villain, and it's either the Shaw mom or Shaw dad, I was thinking Helen Mirren maybe would be a really... Because I know she wants to be in these. But what about for Shaw dad? What do you guys think?
Ooh, Shaw dad.
Okay.
Oh, see, I feel like it would be better. I would rather Shaw sister. I want, like, Shaw little sister, and I want it to be, like, somebody super badass. I'm trying to think of who.
June, can you learn, like, MMA-style fighting?
For sure. 100%.
I mean, and she's got... Wait, they're British, 100%. Right? So...
You can do British accent. Just give her... Get her
into Keira comment. Knightley.
Ugh. Snooze.
Who's got a good question? Good question. Something we have not covered. I'm going to go back to this guy in the back here. All right, sir, here we go. Your name, your Vin Diesel saying my family, and your question. Here we go.
My name is Drew, my family. And so what they did with Paul Walker and his brothers, they used him as body doubles when he died. Do you think for Fast 8 they've had a contingency plan in place with Vin Diesel's twin brother?
It's a very... dark question. I feel like there's no answer to that. No answer, but just a solemn reflection. Although I will say this, and I'm gonna pitch it now, not knowing anything about anything. There's a strong part of me that thinks that they're gonna bring Paul Walker's brother into the next movie as his brother, because his brother now wants to act. Well, just saw how America reacted to that. America doesn't want it. Sir, your name, your Vin Diesel impression, and your question. Here we go.
Okay. My name's Benton, and family.
Great.
I guess my question is directed at June, you know, just because I think you get really hurt by this, but when...
You're trying to hurt her?
I mean, I'm sure she probably felt something about this, but when Jordana Brewster essentially lies about the pregnancy to get Paul Walker to go, you know, fight, what are your thoughts on that?
Wait, when does she lie about the pregnancy?
She doesn't tell him.
By omission, lying by omission.
Well, doesn't she eventually tell him?
She does.
She does. I didn't realize that. I did think it was odd that she's very pregnant and is not at all physically. Just on a physical level, she's not. I didn't realize that. I don't have a problem with it.
They are.
I don't. It's her choice to tell
remember.
Or not to
would
tell.
Would you, June?
I don't
would
have
you?
A problem with it.
If you were 8 months pregnant, would you send me away to fight somebody to the death?
Well, I think the thing that bummed me out the most was that. She had no... I mean, she was also part of this team at one point.
They are outlaws.
No,
basically.
She was never part of the team, right? She wasn't a racer. She was just a sister. Oh, she was a racer? Okay,
she
yeah.
She was a racer.
She was just a woman.
By the way, wait a second. You, June, you just said she was a racer. And by your own admission, you've never seen...
No, but I've seen the posters, and they wouldn't...
I've seen posters.
And they're not going to put her in profile like that if she's not a part of the team.
Ooh, I just want to answer your question from earlier over there. The next one, the Shaw, is it's a Shaw brother and it's Nicolas Cage.
That's it. Yes.
By the way, expressed interest in being in Fast and Furious. He did say it publicly.
Oh my God.
So that would be amazing.
Please, Fast and Furious people, cast Nicolas Cage and us in your next movie.
Yes.
Yeah, like, let's stop messing around. Like, Sharknado would be great to be in, but I think this would be the one.
I think I'm okay being like, fuck you, Sharknado.
Oh, me too. You want to just say that we now publicly? We will commit full on to Furious 8.
We want to be in Fast and Furious 8.
8, 9, and 10?
Yep.
I'm into that. Three picture deal. We could be like the lone gunman, but like four of us. Yeah. All right. You have a good question? You good. Here we go. Your name, your Vin Diesel singing family, and your question.
My name is Nikki.
Right.
At the end, when Vin Diesel leaves the beach, why does it look like he's the one saying goodbye to the girl? Like, he leaves without his wife. He leaves with, like...
Yeah.
He is. He's such a narcissist. You're right. Like...
Yeah, he leaves...
It's all about him.
Oh, totally.
Like, he leaves. It's like, Paul Walker isn't leaving. He's leaving... Without everybody. Did he leave Letty at the end?
Letty. So there's going to be three more, you said?
Yeah.
So that's 10.
Yes.
Fast 10. I will predict that at the end of Fast 10, every movie will have been revealed to be the dreams of a Vin Diesel in a mental institution character. And that's all of it. Is his imaginings of his life.
Wait a second.
He's got a bunch of Matchbox cars.
It's like Marin Call, that documentary Marin Call. And it's like, and the 10th is like a Rain Man-esque documentary where his twin brother comes to bring him home.
And he's like, family, we gotta go. Family, come over here. Oh, okay. No, Brian, you go over here.
I love it.
Tez, what are you doing? Okay.
And then they come and are like, Dom, it's time for your medication. And then he's like...
One more question. Who has a really good question? All right, you have a really good question. I like it. All right. Your name, your Vin Diesel impression, and your question. Here we go.
My name's Alana, and my family.
Great. That was good. I believed it.
I just wanted to know, at the end where...
By the way, she could be a Shaw sister.
Foreigner. Foreigner.
Shaw sister.
Foreigner!
She's here to kill us all. She's going to kill us.
She's come for our jobs.
And to take our sons and daughters back to her home country.
at the end with, Vin Diesel is like, they pull Vin Diesel out of the car. And Paul Walker starts to do CPR on him. And then...
Michelle Rodriguez is like, stop.
And then she basically talks him back to life.
Yeah, I thought that was weird too.
But that is now considered like medical fact. That is how you're supposed to bring somebody back.
I mean, isn't that
it's
the whole idea of
sweet talk them back
mouth
to
mouth
life.
Resuscitation isn't about breathing, it's about talking to them, but just really closely. Hey, how you doing? Hey.
Just like, remember what you wore to our wedding? And he's like, oh!
I just want you to know, you have a lot to live for. There's a montage happening of all the things that you should live for.
Yeah.
Because I remember them all from older movies.
Was that also like her saying that she remembers it all?
Yes.
She came to her in a flash.
So now we've had two full fucking movies of her trying to remember... Jesus Christ, enough. So the next one, she'll finally remember.
She's back. Right, she's back right. in.
Ooh, I also want Jason Bourne in these movies.
Yeah.
I want a collapsing of all movie franchises.
But by the way, like, if Universal just took their best characters, like, it's our Marvel world. We just own it. Like, this is
Frankenstein. The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Shrek.
It's
Don't Vin, get in my car.
It's Vin Diesel and Shrek.
The guys from Wedding Crashers. Hey.
Lilo and Stitch.
Get me the 40-year-old virgin, a Camaro, and the short prince.
And Eileen Wuornos from Monster.
And Aaron Brockovich too.
Bring me Chauncey Gardner.
And Matthew Broderick from War Games. Let's do this.
Do you want to play a game?
I am Groot.
This is a mashup of all the times they say family in the film. This is a brand new made mashup by Avril here.
My family.
Our family.
Family.
Your family.
My family.
Or family. Family. Your family. I don't have friends. I got family.
Oh, pretty great. So good.
Good.
Pretty great. Well, it's come to that time where we obviously have an opinion about this movie. It's fucking awesome. But there are some people out there that have a second opinion, but really, they're gonna share the same opinion as us. So it's now time for second opinions, and we throw it to you, the audience, to sing the theme song. So do your best rendition of the theme song, go. Great. All right.
Guys, rehearse next time, please. I mean, like, come on.
Yeah, get really your good. Shit together.
These are second opinions called from Amazon. 5-star reviews. Here we go. This is from Jesse Devon. He writes, "This is the best movie ever made. I almost cried when I thought Vin Diesel was dead, but was so happy that he wasn't dead, though." 5 stars.
I think it's funny when people have to tell others about the times that they almost cried.
Almost cried.
This one is from Jonathan DC. He goes, "I went and saw it last Friday with my brother. Me and my brother love Fast and Furious movies. We were expecting awesome acting, awesome action, and awesome speed. And that's what we got. Kurt Russell's the new guy who's either CIA or FBI. I don't know which one he is, but he's one of those. Anyway, it's awesome. I was not disappointed. 5 stars.
Anyway.
I hope he was proofing it and was like, oh, no, I should put anyway.
This one's a short one by Michelle Marson. As a woman, this is one of my favorite action films. 5 stars. This is a little bit of a longer one, but I kind of like it. From Mohamden. It looks like Mohammed, but it's not that. Okay. It just took me 3 years of patience, not patience with a C, with a T. It just took me about 3 years of patience to see this movie. I couldn't wait for it to come out. I followed every social media post they had for this movie to tell you how much they had done and what they had finished. I had seen every single post and mini clips about the movie, and every part was exciting. When the movie came out, it gave me excitement. It gave me goosebumps. It gave me laughter. I would watch this movie over and over again, and I won't get sick of it. Every part of this movie makes you feel in an alternative way.
Fair enough.
Some parts make you want to tear up, while other parts make you want to laugh out loud. And then you get shushed by the people around you. All the animations and stunts grab your attention through the whole movie. Some of the stunts that took my attention and made me retell them to others were when Vin Diesel raced his car in the middle of a skyscraper and zoomed out the window while jumping into the next skyscraper and then going right through it and surprising everyone with his entrance through a window that was 100 story tall. And then he continued fighting the criminals. Be sure not to go over the speed limit after you see this movie because it made me want to race a few cars on the way home. 5 stars.
Wow.
My favorite line in that one is, some of the stunts that took my attention and made me retell them to others were.
Yeah.
Finally,
how about those friends that have to listen to retelling scenes from movies? Nothing better than that.
It's okay.
They're stuffed animals.
They're also in the hospital with Vin Diesel's character and his cars. The final one from Nick, kind of bringing it down for a moment. Saw this movie on opening night, and it was the best movie I've ever seen in my life. And now I can't stop thinking about all the touching and action-packed moments. The part I liked most was towards the end of the movie and how it made me look back at my life and made me appreciate what I have. 5 stars.
Yeah.
Family.
All right.
So that are the 5-star reviews. Did we miss anything? Did we not? I mean, obviously, there's a lot to talk about. We didn't even touch upon Damon Hsu's character at all. But
I felt like that
the drone,
character
yeah.
was just sort of just another. It didn't really.
I would say that 90% of his dialogue was "Give me God's eye."
Yeah,
like that was it. Like,
I do feel like I don't want to see another movie where we're all waiting for the download to complete, yep. for the upload to complete.
In that same font size.
Yeah, with the red bar going, with the percentage we have to, you know.
I was going to say that Jaimin Hunsu and his guys, like, took it out of the realm of cars and were in a helicopter.
Yeah.
They were in, like, a militarized... They were in, like, Blue Thunder, basically.
Yes.
Ooh, I would like it if Blue Thunder and or Airwolf were in the next one.
Both. I think the Enterprise should be in it, too. Why not? Ooh. Just bring them all
and
in.
And Magnum in his Ferrari.
And Magnum's buddy in the... TJ up in the...
TC.
TC in the helicopter.
And Rick. And Higgins.
No, I don't want Zeus Higgins. I don't want Higgins. No Higgins.
Does anyone know of, is there Fast and Furious fan fiction?
Yes.
Ooh.
Wait.
Tell us.
Wait, can you come up here and tell us about
tell
it?
Tell us what you know. What do you know about it? Come here.
And it all around, it revolves basically around the emotion of now kiss.
So it's homoerotic at certain points.
Have you watched the movies?
I have, but I didn't know if it all
well,
came.
See, through. I don't get that out of the movies.
It's homoerotic. This is heterosexual, much in the same way that football is.
What, who are the characters?
You're really
that
taking
are...
masculinity to task.
Who are the characters that get together a lot? Is it like Hobbs and Toretto, or is it Paul Walker and Vin Diesel?
A lot of the time it's Walker and Diesel, but the Hobbs and Toretto fandom. Wait, why do I know this?
I was gonna say,
how do you know it?
What are you jerking off to Fast and Furious fan fiction?
I haven't even seen this one.
You haven't even seen this one?
And so where did you find?
Because you're spending too much time diddling yourself to fan fiction.
How can we find the fan fiction? Where did you stumble across it?
Do you write it?
Do you want actual... No.
Yeah, why not? Plug it.
Look at Archive of Our Own, fanfiction.net. This is a big... Tumblr.
All right. All right. We are in it. Guys, let's see this.
Just Bing it.
Ask you. Thank you so much. Amazing. Wow.
Of course. Wow. It makes total All right. sense.
Is there How Did This Get Made fanfiction?
I wouldn't
if
want
not,
to read that.
Get
there
to
is
work.
Now.
Get
there
to
is
work,
now.
Nerds.
Well,
I bet there's 3 pieces of podcast-based fan fiction that is like, and then Scott Aukerman kissed Paul because they were doing a crossover episode.
Manoush Samarodi comes up. That's a deep pull for you guys.
Yeah, yeah, from New Tech
note
City.
To self, yeah.
I do think though the waiting for the thing to upload and the bad guy that's like they created a monster and now he's come back, like all the tropes and everything, like it doesn't matter because it's so awesome. Like
I totally agree.
It's like all these movies, like they're now doing them so well that all that shit is kind of like who cares.
I think the last time we spoke about this film, we agreed that 5 was good, 6 was not as good as 5. So where do we put now 7? That was our... You
7
know.
Has, for me, like real emotional weight because of the... Honestly, because of the death of Paul Walker. So like I feel like I loved this movie. I still like 5 as a straight action movie.
Yeah.
Because I think the heist of the safe and the driving of with the safe is an amazing action sequence. But then I would put this movie, and then I would put 6.
What do you guys?
It's hard because I don't remember, obviously, the other ones, so it's hard. I know I felt a lot for the other one. I don't remember which one it was, but the one we saw in the theater, I think we all saw together. I loved, whichever one that was. this one, this one, what I really took away from it this time was I felt this idea of family and friendship much more. And yeah, the Paul Walker stuff was, it does add a whole other layer, and I cried so hard at the end of the movie. So I guess this is my favorite of the ones I haven't seen either. I can't remember.
Until tomorrow morning when you wake up and it is gone from your memory.
And then at that point, I don't know where they'll all land. When I don't remember any of them. It'll be hard to really figure that list out.
I think I like this one the most. Maybe it's the least cohesive movie of the last three.
Yeah.
But the airplane thing and the buildings in Dubai, like all that stuff is so incredible. And Kurt Russell, like, I don't know. I think I like this one the most, maybe.
I would say that the reason why 5 always holds up highest is because it was like, oh, it's awesome now. Like, things switched. Yeah. So you can never reclaim that because it was already like the switch. So I would say this is like 5 and 7 are, I think, definitely the best two. But this one, I think, the emotional weight.
Yeah.
And I do wish I had seen this in a movie theater. Oh, yeah, I think that was great. A big mistake.
Yeah. Huge mistake.
I'd like to pitch something out to you guys because we don't know how long we have to wait until 8. And I feel like people have asked us to kind of review other ones. I feel like it would be really fun if we all went to Universal Studios and just watched the movie. They have a new ride at Universal Studios, which is the Fast and Furious ride where they're all in it. The Rock, Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez, they shot a whole thing, and you're a part of a chase scene and
it's a
plot.
Great ride.
Is it good?
It's great.
Oh, wow. You see, does it connect the movies?
Oh, wait, no. I'm thinking of the
Simpsons.
Transformers.
Simpsons ride's great.
Love the Simpsons ride.
They opened it. It's fairly new. I feel like at one point maybe we should all ride that and then come back and dissect
great.
That.
Great.
Or go to Tokyo Drift, which I don't know. People say Tokyo Drift is interesting, but I don't know if I can go back.
I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen it either. People, are you interested in that? Potential. All right. We will see this crew again, definitely by Fast and Furious 8. Anything that you'd all like to plug? Jason, are you on Twitter?
I am not on Twitter, comma, guys. Other than that, Adam and I are in a movie called Sleeping with Other People that comes out September 11th. Never forget that the movie comes out that day. That I would love if everybody saw.
Yeah. I am on Grace and Frankie, which is streaming on Netflix. You can watch. Still there.
Same thing Jason said. Jason is great in this movie.
I can't wait to see it.
As is Adam with a pencil-thin mustache.
With the mustache. Comes out September 11th. Never forget that the movie comes out on September 11th.
You can check out Crash Test, which is a special I did on A Glass Bus with Rob Hubel on Vimeo right now. And then Jason, June, and I are all in the upcoming season of The League on FXX.
Yes.
The poor man's version of FX. All right, big thank you to Nate Kiley, who does our research, Avril Halley, who pulls together all these amazing clips, everybody here at Earwolf, Cody up in the booth, Alec up in the booth. Thank you guys so much. You're an amazing audience. Good night.
Yes.